Welcome back to People's Guide to Publishing. I am your host, Joe Beal, the autistic publisher, author of A People's Guide to Publishing, the book, and founder and CEO of Microcosm.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director and co-owner of Microcosm, publishing and distribution, and resident bald person.
And this week, we are going to talk about a timely issue. How to take your press and join the revolution.
Woo, the revolution! Sorry, that
it
was not
will
very
probably be pretty nerdy, that's true.
So, in case you hadn't noticed, there's a social revolution brewing, which is amazing.
Has brewed, I'd say.
I would say it's been brewing for a long time, and I really thought 2014 was the year everything would change, and it did, but this is the year 2020. This year, everything is changing, at least if we all push together. And as publishers, we have a megaphone, we have clout, we have influence, even the smallest among us. We can be a big part of that push.
I was teaching book marketing, and a number of publishers relayed their experience about how they were received when they made statements in support of, you know, very baseline things like the fact that Black lives have worth and, you know, worth beyond being murdered. Like, not even bold statements, I would dare say. Like, pretty, like, baseline common sense statements.
And people were receiving pushback for that?
Yeah.
What kind of pushback?
You know, I do feel like if you're doing publishing right, and you are because you've made it here, then you don't want to be under the delusion that your publishing is for everybody on the planet. You really want to be believing that your work is for a certain group of people, that you know who they are and you know some things about them, and like, you know, and I get it, there are certain kinds of subjects, you know, like prepper books or like witchcraft books or, you know, certain kinds of home repair books where there is a certain like racist undertone in the audience, but for the most part, you don't want to need to have to want to deal with that. And even so, it can be okay to state your feelings on the matter.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, if you're going to turn off your core audience and tank your publishing company by expressing anti-racist sentiments, then you need to reconsider your brand, which we'll talk about in our next episode.
And that, you know, and I get it. It's like, that's the kind of thing that can happen, like, through realizing too little too late. You know, it's not necessarily, like, an intentional or offensive or, you know, otherwise malformed set of your own racist beliefs, but it can just be sort of like a general view that is ignorant of what other people's lives are like, and then sort of realizing that a bit late when your audience is a bit formed and contains some of those people. And, you know, and we have some of those people in our audience, but that doesn't mean we don't say how we feel about things.
Yeah, and like the most vocal people don't represent, like, that's not who you're talking to. You're talking to the people who are probably still trying to decide what they think or who are already on the same page as you. I mean, right. We're talking to you, the audience, as if you're a white person, which, frankly, by statistics, you probably are if you're a publisher, unfortunately.
And even if you're not, all these things still apply. You know, there's lots of other revolutions to join if you're, like, looking for a good party.
But the key thing is, like, I think a lot of people right now seem to be feeling this sort of urgency to fix everything at once, which is awesome. That's what revolutions are made of. But in reality, like, you don't just go from one day to the other being, like, a person who has never thought much about racism in your publishing company to an anti-racist publisher. Publishing is really slow. Like, you plan for the long term and you set those plans going today, but then you see the results over years.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that is often frustration within our own staff and within the world and within, well, any, like, group of people you pick, is that you set an agenda and that doesn't happen normally for 1 to 3 years that you achieve those goals. So, you know, we've seen a lot of publishers recently that are like, we will only sign a certain percentage of white authors from this day forward, you know? And that, you know, that's like a great bold statement it can be a little bit clunky, because then that can result in fewer books, you know, if you don't already have that base where you can, you know, of authors that you can reach out to. And so a lot of times it's building the infrastructure, if you're coming to this a little bit late, that can be tougher to get your feet moving.
So how do you build that infrastructure?
People that do not have lived experiences like you going into your funnel, you know, whether those are people that you reach out to when you are talking about how you take pitches, or whether that is like people that you meet at events, or whether that is the events that you go to in the first place, or, you know, whether that is the people that you tell are invited to be a part of the project that you're doing. And you really have to make that explicit. You know, you can't just imply it.
We argued about this, but...
We did. We argue about a lot of things.
It's kind of our hobby. But yeah, like literally saying when you have a call for submissions or on your acquisitions page, like that you especially encourage people with marginalized backgrounds, whether that's people of color, people with disabilities, queer people, trans people, you know, saying those things out loud or in writing does speak to it. And trust me, it does not prevent anyone who does not meet those criteria from submitting to you.
We can tell you that one hard from experience, that even when we tweet, and this is, I mean, I guess this is a little bit of a pro tip. Every time we've ever tweeted that people of color or marginal people or marginalized people or people that do not see themselves represented in publishing are encouraged to apply to be, you know, to work for us, to be published by us, that inevitably 90% of the results of that are non-marginal people with non-marginal views trying to put themselves into that box to reach out to us. So whether that's like a person of a very mainstream style of novel writing or whatever, they come and they say, like, I'm not that, but this book would be of interest to those people, among other people. And it is a little bit painful. So, you know, again, it really comes down to overcoming people's generalized feelings of entitlement, because honestly, that can be one of the toughest things, is that there is a certain group of people who feel like the world has been built for them.
Because it has.
And so even when they're not invited to the party, they go anyway. And so in a certain sense, you have your work cut out for you to invite other people to the party, to make them actually feel like they're invited and it's not a token gesture, and to make them feel welcome when they arrive.
And then that's the other part of it that goes beyond marketing, is the making them feel welcome, because they're, you know, we all have our own internal biases, and the more we can become aware of them, the more better we'll be able to, you know, interact with everybody that we encounter as humans.
Yeah.
And like a lot of that has to do with introspection. A lot of it has to do with reading. There's lots of good anti-racist books out there.
Lots of them.
Not all of them are sold out at every outlet just now.
We got some more back in, so maybe those will last a few days by the time this airs. But the other thing that you really run into a lot is marginalized people are used to being marginalized, and there's a lot of trauma. So, you know, it's hard to tell exactly why maybe you're not having the experience that you anticipated, or, you know, if, you know, some people might feel like they're being discriminated against solely on the grounds that, you know, you have changes or you need certain things as a publisher. So it can be really important to set expectations in the foreground immediately during the acquisitions process, to just say, like, this is what is typical. We need this because of these reasons. These are our concerns about the book that, you know, and rather than about you or your identity or, you know, other things. And then you can talk about the issues that way. And then the author can similarly say, like, these are my concerns. Like, I'm worried you might erase these aspects of the book, or that you might not see these for, like, what they mean to the audience, which is sort of the whole book, you know? And so when you both can talk openly about your concerns, then it doesn't become sort of a power play or like a restrained passive-aggressive conflict, because those really don't get anybody what they want, you know? Like, you really have to be able to have a conversation as human beings.
Yeah, so send that email. Say that Black Lives Matter, because they do. Well, and don't stop there. Keep going.
Right. And then figure out how to incorporate that into your press. This has been A People's Guide to Publishing.
For the Revolution.
I am your host, Joe Beal, the autistic publisher and author of A People's Guide to Publishing.
I'm Ellie Blue, editorial and marketing director, and always working on doing it better.
Till next time. Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosmpublishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.